This is in the news for May 30th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today, Congress box at Pentagon War on Terror missile. It's written by Julian Borger from The Guardian in the United Kingdom and taken from commondreams.org. Congress has stalled Pentagon plans to put conventional warheads on intercontinental missiles for use in Washington's so-called War on Terror out of concern that they could trigger a nuclear war. The Defense Department is seeking $127 million for the conversion of submarine-based missiles as part of its Global Strike project, aimed at giving Washington the option of acting fast, preemptively, and from great distances against targets that might threaten the U.S. The goal would be to destroy a fleeting target, such as a weapon being assembled or a meeting of terrorist leaders, anywhere in the world within an hour of intelligence reaching the U.S. of their location. But Congress has held back $32 million of the funds until the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, and the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, present a plan to eliminate the risk that other countries mistake the launch of the Trident D-5 missile for a nuclear attack and respond. Jack Reed, a Democrat on the Senate Armed Services Committee, told the New York Times, quote, "There is great concern this could be destabilizing in terms of deterrence and nuclear policy. It would be hard to determine if a missile coming out of a Trident submarine is conventional or nuclear," end quote. Colonel Richard Patenaude, a deterrence and airstrike strategist, told Inside the Air Force, a defense newsletter, quote, "It's a valid concern. You never want someone to think you're launching a nuke when you're not. But I think it's a manageable problem, and a lot of others do too," end quote. Pentagon planners are confident a system can be worked out with other nuclear powers to reassure them that a Trident launch is conventional and not aimed at them. In 2000, the U.S. and Russia agreed to establish a joint data exchange center to share information about ballistic missile launches. The head of the U.S. Strategic Command, General James Cartwright, who has oversight over the nuclear and non-nuclear elements of global strike, said the U.S. informed China of any test launches. He said, quote, "We don't have a treaty, but we will tell them so that they know," end quote. He said he hoped China and other nations would join the U.S.-Russian Data Exchange Center. The Global Strike Program was part of the U.S. Nuclear Posture Review submitted by the Pentagon at the end of 2001, which recommended the restructuring of U.S. strategic defenses away from its Cold War arsenal towards smaller weapons, nuclear and non-nuclear, which could be used against terrorists or rogue states believed to be planning an attack using weapons of mass destruction. The review has been criticized for blurring the line between nuclear and conventional weapons, and Congress has blocked Pentagon plans to build a new generation of nuclear bunker busters and mini-nukes. Critics also question whether the U.S. president could be so sure of intelligence to order the launch of a long-range ballistic missile. Again, this is from The Guardian of the United Kingdom, written by Julian Borger and taken from commondreams.org. Up next, from Agence France-Presse, written by Marie-Noëlle Vallès, and also taken from commondreams.org, search for sushi draining Mediterranean's red tuna stocks. Too much demand for sushi from Japan may finish off stocks of red tuna running dangerously low in the Mediterranean owing to overfishing, say environmentalists from Greenpeace and the World Wildlife Fund, or WWF. José Luis Garcia, head of the WWF Ocean Section, said, quote, "Japan absorbs between 90 and 95% of catches of red tuna, and the Mediterranean version is especially appreciated," end quote. The price of a prize red tuna can top 50,000 euros or 60,000 U.S. dollars on the Japanese market. Garcia also said, quote, "In opening new markets, exploitation of stocks has been pushed even further." He was alluding to the growing international taste for sushi. Ecologists want to highlight the threat in the run-up to a meeting in Croatia of the International Commission for the Conservation of Atlantic Tunas, or ICCAT. And they have made common cause with small-scale fishermen who see industrial-scale practices ravaging the stocks on which they base their livelihood. The International Commission is to reevaluate annual fishing quotas for the first time since 2002, which are currently fixed at 32,000 tons for the Western Atlantic Zone. Prior to the November meeting, ICCAT scientists are going to meet in Madrid from June 12th to 18th to draw up a list of recommendations. Greenpeace and the WWF hope to make their own voices heard. Garcia said, quote, "In 2002, scientists recommended 22,000 tons, but ICCAT decided to give 10,000 tons more," end quote. Even this generous quota has been exceeded, say environmentalists, who claim the overall catch in 2005 hit between 40 and 50,000 tons due to fishermen overrating stocks. Garcia said, quote, "This time we want to see the quotas come down enormously in response to the crisis," end quote. The environmentalists are not targeting the small-scale fishermen who use nets according to local custom, but industrial flotillas and their high-tech operations. There's more on this at commondreams.org. Again, it's taken from Agence France-Presse and written by Marie-Noëlle Vallès. And finally, from the latest edition of High Country News, which you can see at hcn.org, their feature called The Latest Bounce. We've got three short items, all written by Laura Paskus. The Navajo Nation has opened its doors to a new power plant and waived its sovereign right to protect itself from future disputes over the project. In mid-May, the Navajo Tribal Council voted 66-7, granting a 50-year lease to Houston-based Sith Global Power to build the Desert Rock coal-fired power plant near Farmington, New Mexico. Although the legislation, endorsed by Navajo President Joe Shirley Jr., approves a, quote, limited waiver of sovereign immunity, end quote, the actual agreement between the energy company and the tribe reads that the tribe, quote, hereby expressly and unequivocally waives sovereign immunity from suit to any dispute under the lease or sublease, end quote. The next short piece from High Country News. The federal government's public lands for schools idea is off the table for now. The plan, which received enthusiastic support from U.S. Department of Agriculture Undersecretary Mark Ray, would have sold off about 300,000 acres of national forests and BLM lands in order to fund schools and counties. According to Ray, the sale would have netted $800 million over the next 7 years, but in May, the House Appropriations Committee decided not to bring the proposal to a vote before the House of Representatives. And finally, from the latest bounce in High Country News, the Environmental Protection Agency is ready and willing to defend the homeland. EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson has announced a new position at the agency, Associate Administrator for Homeland Security. According to a May 1 memo from Johnson, the position is warranted, quote, at a time when we face continued threats to homeland security as well as issues related to possible pandemic flu, end quote. Meanwhile, EPA employees in the Great American West ecoregion have been instructed to expedite energy projects in the region to ensure the agency will, quote, accelerate environmental protection and maintain economic competitiveness, end quote. One priority will be to reduce the time staff spend reviewing environmental documents by a yet-to-be-determined amount. Again, that's from High Country News, all written by Laura Paskus. This has been In the News for May 30th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW LP here in Cottage Grove, Oregon. Talk to you next time.